If your dog has ever bit Ranger Joe, raise your hand. I also want to say thank you to those who serve as fathers. There's some, I know some women in this room that has had to serve as the dad, and you've had some brothers and other family members that had to serve as your dad. So they say thank you for all of y'all for doing that. Amen. We honor all of you. On Mother's Day, Pastor Melissa always gives out flowers to the ladies. So us men, you know, at the end of service, we're going to lay a big slab of hamburger meat on the back, and I want you to go and just grab a big handful and put it in your pocket as you go out, okay? Got to have something. Amen. So those that haven't heard me preach on Wednesdays, I like to have a space story in all my messages. So Kimberly, you're welcome. Of course, all y'all know who that is, right? It says on his shirt, it's Alan Bean. He was on the Apollo 12 mission. He was on how that happened. No one got my joke. Okay. It was called Skylab 3, but it was the second manned mission. All right, so here's a little dad joke. It's not really a joke. It's a statement that he said, and this is the kind of dads, some dads would tell their kids, okay? In his Skylab diary, Alan Bean wrote, "Had a bad experience today." I can't get this out. "Had a bad experience today. Sneezed while urinating." Bad. Bad on earth, disaster up here. Oh, goodness. Forgive me. In the Bible, it talks about 1 Samuel. So we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 6. And this is the story of Samuel anointing Saul as king. And Samuel said that Saul was going to go preach and prophesy. And Saul was the last person on earth you had ever thought would expect a God to use. He wasn't a prophet. He had no spiritual pedigree. And yet after Samuel anointed him, God gave him a powerful promise. And notice here in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 6, "And then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." Saul was as far as I said, a prophet as it can be, but God said he's going to be turned into another man. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean he's going to be turned into good-looking Wesley. It means a different man, a better man. God can do that, can he? God does that. He turns the old, the new, the sinner to son, and the enemy to family. God can change and turn things around. In verse number 9, "And so it was, and when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart." So not only is he another man, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. God gave him another heart. The God's Word translation says, God changed Saul's attitude. The Easy to Read version said, God turned Saul's life around. The Easy version says, God gave Saul a new nature. Anybody want something new? Before, he was different. Now he's another man. He has another heart. And before, he was different on the outside, but you're changed on the inside first. Just like when Jesus spoke to the fig tree looked just like the fig tree when he walked away, but on the inside, that fig tree was dying. And the opposite of that, on the inside, we're changing for the better. We may not look like it on the outside. We may not have the perfect pastor haircut and the perfect pastor shirt, but on the inside, we're changing into another man, into something that God can use and that God can work with. Amen? Change starts on the inside, and eventually you will see the fruit, but some of the greatest changes are happening on the inside in your heart. So when you pray for a loved one, don't think nothing's happening. We all have prayed over loved ones, those that we feel that need to come back to the Lord. Don't imagine that God's not working on the inside. Don't think your prayers aren't going unanswered, because no matter how it looks in the natural, God is working on the inside of them and changing them to another man. Even at 3 a.m., no matter what it takes, something is happening in their heart. The fruit will come. God is faithful. Amen? God gave Saul another heart. In verse number 10, it says, "And when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them." And as we mentioned a moment ago, this is a sign and a wonder here. "And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, and that the people said to one another, 'What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets?'" This was the last one they thought would be the preacher. They're like, "Who is this guy?" Not his grandma would have thought it. Not his great uncle would have thought it. Not his friends would have thought he would have been a preacher one day. But here he was prophesying, because God had changed him. In verse number 12, "Then a man from there answered and said, 'But who is their father?' Therefore it became a proverb, 'Is Saul among the prophets?'" Who is their father? Who changed Saul? Marcel, you're a Bible school student. You were listening. Who changed Saul?
God did.
God did. That's right. Who is your daddy? Who is your daddy? That's what we're talking about today. You know, Father's Day, we want to honor the man, the person, whoever it is, you, Father. But we're talking about Father God, the good, good Father. Who is your daddy? Because God uses people just like you. Just like you and you and you and you. God uses us. Everybody comes from somewhere. Sorry, I want that part. God uses people just like you. He wants us as his sons and daughters. Everybody comes from somewhere, and God uses people just like you. And he can't find, there's no one on earth that doesn't have an issue. Who has issues? You may have had some issues. God can't find anyone perfect except for Jesus, who has never been ignorant or never has disobeyed. But it's not where we came from, it's where we're going. It's not what we've done in the past, it's what we're going to do for him now and in the future. It's not where you've been, it's what you're going to do, what you're doing for him. Amen? This is the Word of God. This is what he wants for us. He uses people just like us, and the devil's telling the same lies that God can't use you, that you're too much of this or too less of this or too you don't have a much of this. The devil wants to think that your situation is unique, that you're never going to get out of it, and that's just ignorance of the Word. We don't want to live that way. It's prideful when we're living that way, that we can't make it. The Word says it's all common to men. We all go through it. Marcel, have you had any challenges this week? Just if Marcel had a challenge, we all had challenges. Sorry, I get the pick on you. You're here. So. All right. You know, other people have dealt with issues bigger than your issue, but they don't whine as much as you do. Anybody say amen? But the devil wants you to think that your situation is different. That God uses people just like you, just like me. And when I say use, I don't mean use and abuse. I mean he uses you to touch the world with a major impact of love and goodness and reaching the world with his gospel. Amen? God used a prostitute. Who is Jesus' great-great-great-great-grandmother? A prostitute. She had a sign that said, "I'm a prostitute. Visit me." It was her. God used Ruth. We know Ruth's story, but the people she came from were not easy-go-lucky people. They were some vicious people. God used Gideon, who was saying, "I'm too little." God used Moses, who said, "I can't talk. You don't want me." And the devil's trying to tell you he can't use you because you don't have enough, but he's a liar. You are more than qualified, more than you'll ever know. Your past, your failures, your background, none of it disqualifies you. God uses people exactly like you and me. Amen? Say that with me. Say, God uses people exactly like me. Do you believe it? God doesn't just change people, he adopts them. He turns unlikely, broken, ordinary people into his own sons and daughters. And the greatest revelation you can ever have that God is your daddy. God is your father. The adoption in the Bible is stronger than the bloodline. The adoption is stronger. You can't break it. It's stronger. He's you're his. Amen? 1 Corinthians 1, 27-29. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame to the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame to things that which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things that which are despised has which are despised God has chosen. He has picked, even if you felt like you're foolish and you're weak and that you're lowly, he's picked you. Out of everyone else, he's picked you because he loves you. He sent his son to die for you, and he would do it again. He's a good, good father, and he's your daddy. Say, he's my daddy. Did you know the kind of people God uses is people just like me and just like you? Amen? He uses people who are available. People who want to be a doer of the word. Praise God, we have camera systems, and I know people that are watching right now on the camera system. Praise God. You might be able to travel and watch it. You might be able to be at home and watch it. But he wants you to be available, to be used, to serve him, to help him. Amen? Just like the parable of the supper, where the supper was ready and no one came. People made excuses, you know, they had property issues and they had equipment issues and they had business issues and they had to put their family first issues, and it made the Lord angry. And he said, "Let's fill this place. Go out into the highways and the byways, the man living in the box. Go get him." You know, the man living in the box didn't pull out his iPhone and say, "Let me check my calendar." No, he said, "Yes, sir, I'm on my way." He wasn't too busy to doing something else to obey the Lord. And he wasn't too smart. He didn't have too much going on, because that's the kind of people that God uses, the people who say yes and that they're available. Not just the smartest, not just the good lookingest, but the people that say, "Yes, I want to be there for you, Lord." And they did. They filled the place with people just like us. Moses in front of the bush, the burning bush, he was saying, "I can't. I can't. I can't. Don't you know I'm a wanted man? They got my picture down at the post office, a wanted picture. You know, I can't do this." And it made God angry, because he wasn't saying, "Yeah, I'll do it for you, Lord." God knows the things you haven't seen, but in spite of all of the issues that's went on in your life, he wants you. And if you say, "No, I can't," and you give him excuses that why you're unavailable, it's insulting to him. And we don't need to do that, do we? It's being ignorant of the word. If he calls you and it seems in like an impossibility, you go ahead and say, yes, sir, thank you, sir, right away, sir. And as you start taking steps, more and more anointing will come, more and more revelation will come, more and more finances and the ability to do it will come, because we're saying, yes, I trust you, Daddy. I trust you. I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. It's not about where you came from. It's about who your daddy is and where he's taken you. And God uses people just like you and just like me. But we need to stop looking back. We need to stop looking back at the issues that went on. You have to agree with God and not with the devil. Stop letting the devil tell you how you messed up and how you can't make it. You remember Lot's wife? David, you were there. Do you remember that? Told you I'd get you back. Lot's wife looked back. One time I was running a cross-country race, and I looked back, but right in front of me was a stump and a hill. So I got to meet the stump and the hill all at the same time. That was fun. Lot's wife became a pillar of salt because she never moved forward and never did anything. She looked back, she was looking back at the issues and the problems, and because of that, she could not move forward. Because of that, she could not change things. Looking back froze her, looking back stopped her. Have you ever messed up 1,000 times and asked the Lord to forgive you 1,000 times? I have. The same thing over and over and over. Sometimes we need to learn. We need to change. But let's say you messed up one more time and you went to the Lord and say, Lord, I've messed up 1,000 times. I'm so sorry. Do you know what he's going to say? He's going to say you're forgiven, but he's going to say, I only know one time. This one time you're bringing to me, because he's already forgotten about the other 1,000 times, and he doesn't want you to keep remembering the other 1,000 times. He's saying, change now. Be different now. I've changed you on the inside now. You're something different now. And the enemy wants you to be living in the awareness of the sum total of all your mistakes for your whole life. Some people live in that issue. Some people live in that circumstance, and God doesn't want you to live there. He doesn't want you to live in condemnation. The devil does. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants you to keep from moving forward by looking back. He wants to freeze you. He wants to lock you up. He wants to keep you frozen in time and not moving forward. Don't look back. Do what God's asked you to do now. Amen? You're forgiven. You are clean. He doesn't see it anymore. Even if the others are still looking at you that way, forget them and move forward. Amen? Why? Because we are fully accepted. We have received the spirit of adoption, as it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Notice how the Passion says it. It says, but you have received the Spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. He has fully accepted you, all that you look like, all that you've done in the past. He wants you the way you are. He wants you to come in now. He wants you to get plugged in. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to be a doer of the Word. Amen? The source of insecurities and fears in this world are that people don't know God as their Father. They know Him as a religion God. God, the Almighty Creator. But they don't have a relationship with Him. They don't know Him personally. He never intended to intimidate us through power and fear. You know, He could show up in the sky right now and just twinkle His finger, and the whole world would know He was God, and they would be in fear about it, but He doesn't want to do that. He wants us to make that choice to serve Him. He wants us to be proven. He wants us to live worthy to Him. Those who choose to believe Him when they couldn't see Him. Those that choose to obey and be faithful when they didn't see or feel it. Those that choose to walk by faith. And that's what He wants. That spirit of adoption. He is, notice as it says, the spirit of. When you have a spirit of fear, you're operating in that fear. When you have a spirit of happy and joy, you're people see that you're happy and joyful. But you have the spirit of adoption. That you know on the inside that you're part of the clique. You're part of the family. When they have the family meeting, you're sitting at the table. He picked me. I belong to Him. Even though I came out of all that junk, I had the full spirit of acceptance, the full spirit of adoption. He picked me. He chose me. He's my daddy. Yeah. Jesus is going to call my name in front of the Father and say, Father, this is my brother Matthew. We know him. Hey, Matthew, how you doing? It's going to be like on Cheers when Norm walked in. Norm, they're all going to say, Matthew! If you don't know what Cheers was, I'm so sorry. Jesus is going to call our name in front of the Father. He's going to call you by name and claim you. And the devil hates that because he lost it. He lost it by being prideful. He lost it by being arrogant. He lost it by thinking he could be more than what he should be. But we need to practice this and say, God is my Father. God is my Daddy. No matter what you're going through, you can stop and say, Daddy, Father God. And you can cry out to Him. God is my Father. And knowing this will deliver us from all our fears and our insecurities and those identity crises that people are going through, especially in this day and age. If He is your Father, then you know who you are. Who you are. That's who we know who we are. If you don't know who you are, there's an easy way to figure this out. Get the Word out and go through. And there's several books. Brother Hagin wrote a book. Brother Hankins that's coming wrote a book about in Him. Find all the scriptures that says about in Christ or in the Word and apply those to yourself and put your name in there. Matthew has this according to what the Bible says. Amen. Jane has this according to what the Word says. God is my Father, and knowing this will deliver us from all of our fears and insecurities. He is our Father. We are His kids. I am God's kid. I am God's kid. Who are you? I'm His son. I'm God's kid. Marcel, who are you? That's right. My daddy is God. Who's your daddy? God's my father. God's my daddy. It doesn't matter if you're 15. It doesn't matter if you're 50. It doesn't matter if you're going on your 150th birthday. He is your daddy. Jesus answered, and there's many scriptures in the Word. I'm going to give you a couple. In John 5:17, and Jesus answered His critics by saying, every day my Father is at work, and I will be too. And this infuriated them and made them more eager to devise a plan to kill Him. He's saying, my Father, I don't do anything unless my Father says it. My Father, my Father, my Father. And it kept making them angry, just like it makes the devil angry, because they didn't have that personal relationship with them. He was aware of it. He spoke it. And some of the meanest people you ever meet are because they're in fear of never being accepted. Fear runs their life, and they don't know who they are, and they're insecure, just like the devil is, a bully. And what do you do to a bully? You bully them back. You don't let them run over you. If the devil says you're never going to make it, how are you going to do it? What are you going to do? You turn it around and say, what are you going to do, devil? What are you going to do when the Lord throws you into the lake of fire? Turn it back on Him. Amen? When you know that God is my daddy, it's for eternity. That you've made it. He knows all. He does all. And I'm His boy. And I'm not stupid enough to leave Him. I'm staying with Him. And He will stay with me. My soul follows hard after Him. If He stops, I'm going to bump right into the back of Him. Because I'm with Him all the way. Amen? My Father is working. In John chapter 10, verses 29 through 30, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch it out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. My Father, my Father, my Father, the devil doesn't want you to know that God is your Father, that you have a sonship rights and privileges, because if you've ever learned if that and walked in it, then you will look like and operate just like Jesus did, pitting devils on the run. When we use His name, we're using the same authority just like Jesus, and we look and act just like Him. That's what the Word says. The Word says that you're made in the express image and likeness of God. That's who you are. When the devil sees you, he sees that. He wants you to look in the mirror and see stupid. He wants you to look in the mirror and see ugly. He wants you to look in the mirror and say, I can't. He wants you to look in the mirror and say, there's no way. But when He sees you, He sees Himself. He sees joy. He sees happiness. He sees love. He sees overcoming. Amen? And Jesus is continuing saying, my Father, my Daddy. And when He came across Mary in John 20:17, and Jesus cautioned her and said, Mary, don't cling to me, for I haven't ascended to God, my Father. And He's not only my Father and God, but now He's your Father and God. Now go to my brothers and tell them what I've told you, that I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Jesus said it. We can take it as His word. He's your daddy. Say, He's my daddy. I'm in right standing with Him. I can come to Him. I can run to Him because He's my daddy. And some of us, and I include myself at times, have had daddy issues with natural fathers. But He's not our natural father. He's our heavenly Father. And He's perfect in all of His ways. We just sang a song about it. He's perfect. He's providing for us. He's delivering us. And I'm going to let go of all the things of this natural world because I don't operate on this natural world. I'm a peculiar person, don't you know? And I'm different. I'm going to act different. I'm going to talk different. I'm going to speak different. I'm going to have my head held high differently because He's a good Father, and I know He's bringing me through this. Amen? And you have the same access. You can come boldly to the throne of God, just like it says in Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace. With privilege. You have privilege. You have the access card. Anybody work in an office building where you have a magnetic card and you can't open the door unless you ding that magnetic card? You have the magnetic card. You walk in and the doors open automatically. With privilege, you can approach the throne of grace. That is the throne of God's gracious favor with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help us in the time of need. An appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. We have privilege. We can approach His throne and He's going to say, hey kid, come on in. When my kids come to church and they get here usually a little early, they have a race to come give me a hug. I love it. And that's what God loves. He loves it when we come to Him, run to Him, give Him a hug. Amen? He's my Father. He's my Daddy. We have privilege to come before His throne boldly. We can do that. We're going to let go of all the issues. We're going to let go of all the circumstances that's held us back. We're going to let go of all those things that the devil is trying to say, devil is going to keep saying, keep looking here, keep looking back, keep looking over here. Don't you know how bad they made you feel? Don't you know how awful they were? Don't you know how much you hurt? Don't you know how much you're stupid? Don't you know how much you don't know this and that? And the God's up here saying, don't look at all that junk. Put them under your feet. All you have to say, devil, get behind my feet. I resist you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, God is my Father. Amen. Say this with me. Say, God is my Father. He's my daddy. I'm his child. I belong. Amen. You need to keep saying that over and over and over. The truth will deliver you from fear and insecurity. And when you know who your Father is, you know who you are. Amen. Saul was the least likely to give him to get a new heart. But we're not the least likely. We live under the new covenant. Jesus died for us already. We need to accept it and keep going on saying, God, I know the price that's been paid for me. I know who I am. Bow your heads and pray with me if you would. Father, I thank you that I know who I am. I know who I am. I know that I'm your kid. I know that I'm adopted. I have the spirit of adoption, the spirit of full acceptance. I know who I am. I know that I'm forgiven. I know that I'm happy. I know that I'm healed. I know that oppression and depression has no place in my thought life, has no place in my heart, and I cast you out in the name of Jesus. I thank you that my body and my blood flows with perfect healing, perfect anointing. I thank you for that, Father, that every bone, every cell, every joint in my body comes into alignment with what your word says, because I know what I have in you. I know that you're selling that cow over there for me. I know that you're providing this for me. I know that you're making my way straight. You're making my crooked places straight, my dark places light. I know you're pulling my foot out of the clay and setting my foot on the rock. I know who I am. I'm your kid. And I say thank you. I say thank you, Lord. And Father, if there's anybody in here, and if you're in here and you've been in that place where the devil has been keeping you down, been telling you, you can't, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're not going to make it this time, this is your time to say, nay, I'm not going to take that. In the name of Jesus, I resist you, Satan. You will flee. You will get out of here right now in the name of Jesus. I am full of strength. I am full of life. I am full of joy. Every bone in my body, every blood cell, my eyes, my ears, my nose, my toenails, now it works perfectly and comes in alignment with what the word says. I know that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, and I'm bringing everybody with me that I can. And I say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I am an overcomer because of you. And I say, thank you. I say, thank you. If you're hearing my voice and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you've never known God as this Father, and you've just known him as God, the Almighty, but he wants to be your Father, your daddy. All you have to do is say, Father, forgive me of all my sins. I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you that right now he is my Lord. I thank you that right now I know him, that he died for me, that I am saved and I'm going to heaven. And I give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. God is my daddy. God is my daddy. Say that with me. God is my daddy. God is my daddy. I'm his child. And he uses people just like me. Amen.